Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 190. Tom, look at the numbers going up. The numbers.
They're big numbers, top numbers. So we're a bit of a different setup this week. Should we address it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're still in lockdown, but we're kind of trying to do different.
We're doing the right thing.
We're doing different versions of lockdown. And so this is me going into the office to get the equipment and taking it back home for Friday. And we were like, well, why don't we just record whilst I'm here before I start unpacking, like unplugging everything.
That's it. And me, I'm at home and the good room is in use by homeschooling and upstairs is in use by sleeping baby. So I am on a recliner in the living room.
I don't know. You look pretty comfy though. You look okay.
I'm all right. Normally I like to be, you know, properly sitting up for a show.
Have you been on your designated walk today?
No.
Have you been on your designated walk at all this week?
I have been a few times, but the girls have had us watching Tangled a whole bunch.
Right.
I'm starting to get real jealous of how much Rapunzel gets to leave that castle. she gets out of that tower a lot compared to how much we go out.
I went for my designated walk maybe 3 days ago. Then the day after, couldn't be bothered. And then the day after that, I went, oh, you know what? I'm just going to do this jigsaw puzzle for a bit. And then it got too late because I like to do my designated walk super early in the morning so there's the least amount of people I interact with.
Sure.
So you go to the back streets and all that kind of thing. So it got too late. So then I thought, oh, I'll do some gardening. That'll be good, do a bit of outside stuff. Except somebody else had decided to fill up not one but two of the green vegetation bins. And very minimal gardening for us until next week when the bins go out. So that was a bit annoying. But we did a bit of Chloe and I did a little bit of weeding, which every 2-year-old loves a lot because you pull stuff out, sometimes the wrong thing, and then your hands get all dirty, and that's just good fun.
Nice.
You know what she does, and this is why I'm going to ask you what movie I'm going to make her watch soon. But she likes to lie on the grass, with her hands on the grass, feeling it and just looking, just intently staring. What movie should she watch very soon?
Like Ants or Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. I was also thinking
Bugs Life.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah.
I showed Shade that movie when she was young and it wigged her out. She was like bothered by the idea of being made tiny.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
That's a whole thing. Kids are already very small. They don't want to be any smaller. They're trying to be big.
It's such an adult-made movie, isn't it then? Ha-ha, kids, get even smaller.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The group that say yes have released a press release, because that's what you do with press releases, saying that they have had a shake-up in the ranks as a secret no faction was found disagreeing with everything everyone was saying. The group said, and I quote, "This goes against our policy to uncategorically say yes to 100% of everything. If we start saying no to things now, then what's the point of our name and what would make us enticing to new members?" Their internal investigations discovered the knowers in the unused haunted bathroom at their clubhouse, chanting uh-uh, nuh-uh and mm-mm. At first it was thought the ghost of the toilet lady was behind it all, but it was Derek, the bloke with the comb over. A group that say yes member for over 22 years seems he's cracked and lost it. It's such a pity. Julia Sawala will reprise her role as Linda Day in the Watchersville Amateur Theatre's production of the pilot for Press Gang. When asked if she was keen to reprise her role, she said, "For the right price, yes." Sun showers have been banned by the council. This new law will come into effect on Monday morning. Fines are in excess of $20,000. Any cloud found to be releasing precipitation in the sun's time to shine will be targeted heavily. Hold your downpour till your weather occurrence. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I've got a great quiz for you. It's called Keeping Up with the Joneses. And I won't tell you anything else about it. And I've watched quite a lot of stuff, but I'm going to be upfront with you. A lot of it is older stuff.
Sure.
Because I think that's all my brain wants to watch. Just old stuff.
All my stuff I watched is pretty much all around Shark Week.
Ah, nice. It's
been Shark Week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I crammed a lot into Shark Night last night. I watched about 7 hours of shark stuff before bed. So I had a nightmare.
Were you the shark?
No, I'm never the shark. It's just us back at school in the giant Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a competition. We went to this giant pool. I had a panic attack in the pool because I was convinced there was something behind me. But it was like, what a weird dream. Why?
Yeah, I love how you had to go to school. You know why you had to go to school? Because that makes you less in control because you're younger and unsure of yourself. At least that's my guess. Should we get into some of the no's?
Let's do it.
All right. Who wants a Grease prequel? The answer is everyone, apparently.
Is that the one that everyone wants?
This is the one that everyone wants, including you, Tom. Look at your excited face.
Ah. I've never watched Grease through.
Do you know enough about it to have a guess what the storyline's about?
They're kids.
No, it's a prequel. Oh, they're kids.
Their parents.
No.
Their
parents. It's about the pink ladies, you know, they used to wear the pink bomber jacket from the 1950s that Sandy was part of. It was Rizzo and Frenchie, I think her name was, their gang, like the cool girls gang. Michelle Pfeiffer would have probably won it as well in the second one, but I can't remember. So Paramount Plus is making a 10-episode series called Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies, set 4 years before the original series. So that means that the actresses who play the characters in this film are supposed to be older than the actresses who were in the 1978 film. So that's a bit of... does your head in a bit. Stockard Channing is probably about, like, her character Rizzo is probably about 12 when this film is set.
Okay, so it might be like Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, kind of like
words,
that.
I should expect for this to be in the house.
I have a feeling if Shay's started watching Grease, she's gonna watch this. So four new characters described as fed up outcast girls who dare have fun on their own terms. Obviously, they're still going to be at Rydell High. Apparently, this series was going to be on HBO Max, but something happened and Paramount Plus got them. So get ready for that, Tom.
We don't have Paramount Plus, so...
Wait longer.
bullet dodged for now.
For now, exactly. Someone will pick it up.
Still waiting outside a pizzeria for Fry to return? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
The news I have this week, one of them's a usual news story, and the rest of it is just kind of, nice news and stuff. I haven't really felt like diving into too much deep stuff. The one thing I've been following, though, is so last week we talked about Black Widow having a huge opening weekend and great results, and they were talking about the Disney Plus numbers and stuff. Disney haven't released any numbers this week, so I don't know if many people have purchased further and stuff, but the news has more been about that the film dropped 67% in terms of numbers to last week and came in second to Space Jam, which is the biggest drop of a Marvel film, weekend to weekend on first to second. And the theater owners are blaming Disney Plus. They're saying people that would normally come and buy a ticket and see it several times aren't coming. I think that's kind of balls.
Oh, really?
Because, look, it's still a pandemic. People don't want to be going to the movies. And in a lot of cases, people shouldn't or can't. We can't go to them. So it's great that we are still able to access this new content and this sort of stuff. Clearly the people that did want to go and see it in the theater or felt comfortable doing so did. And it was the biggest opening of anything in a year and a half or two years or something like that. So rather than just be like, we thought it was going to sustain us for weeks and stuff like that, just I think people need, like the cinema owners need to adapt that this is kind of the model it's going to be for a while. They were getting nothing for so long.
Yeah.
It's a real awkward situation and a lot of people are hurting and that's a real shame and stuff. But at the same time, it kind of, we were talking a year ago about what seismic shifts might happen And this feels like one of them that's happening of, you know, maybe it didn't kill cinema, but cinema needs to really adjust their expectations moving forward, because we've all seen now what can be done.
Yeah.
You can't put that genie back in the lamp.
Let's have a look at Black Widow for a second then, because we are. So people who went to the movies to watch it, got the big screen experience, were like, oh, this movie's great. You're going to want to watch it, to their family members or whoever. And they're like, oh, look, I'll buy it on Disney. Sit here and watch it with me. And that's another thing, right? If you don't, I mean, let's look at when we were kids or growing up. You went to the movies and saw that movie. That movie wasn't coming out on video or DVD for like a year, right?
Yes. There were much longer windows. The window now is only 3 months.
It's crazy.
And that, sorry, like pre-pandemic,
yeah,
it was 3 months locked in. It's not that anymore now. Nope. Some of the services are 45 days. Some of them a day of release.
Yep.
It's better that we're offered these options. And there's certain stuff that I would normally never consider going to see in cinema. Even before the pandemic, I would happily wait. Whereas now, if you're dropping it early, yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah. It was very handy and helpful for us because, you know, the cinemas here were not open. We're not allowed to be open when Black Widow came out. So if Disney Plus wasn't the option, you may not have seen it yet.
I know.
And that's crazy, right?
I haven't seen Space Jam yet, and that is disappointing. I was supposed to have seen Space Jam by now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the reviews of Space Jam aren't sounding fantastic, which is disappointing, but I would have really liked to have seen it and sort of not been clouded.
I get what you mean, the
cloud thought reaction and stuff. Yeah.
So are you planning on just watching it at home? Can you wait? Or like now that you have this cloud?
I'm not going to pirate it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't play that way.
No.
Not for our reviews and stuff like that. We do it all above board. So yeah, I will wait until I am able to see it. If it's available at home, I will definitely watch it there.
Yeah.
But if that means I wait until maybe they'll bump it for Australia and we'll get it at like Boxing Day, because they won't release it outside of school holidays.
There are more school holidays, right? There's one more lunch.
Yeah, but
yeah, they're not the big
another
ones.
One. But
yeah,
it's in like 11 weeks or something. I don't know.
Definitely
sounding pessimistic. Let's move away.
All right.
Said, the rest of the news I have is more upbeat.
Oh, I've got heaps of cool stuff, including this one. Did you see that Fox over in the US have a new singing competition? It's an Avatar singing competition called Alter Ego, and there's four judges: Alanis Morissette, Nick Lachey, Grimes, and will.i.am. And the premise is that the contestants will be performing not as themselves, but instead like these avatars, kind of like the version of themselves that they would like everybody to see them as.
Okay, so it's the Masked Singer idea.
Yep, exactly.
But Instagram filters.
Absolutely. And do you know... So it's actually going to be on, I'm pretty sure, yeah, right after the Masked Singer. That's hard for me to say. The Masked Singer in the US. So it'll be Masked. I can't say that. Masked Singer and then Alter Ego. But what a mix of judges. Alanis Morissette, Nick Lachey, Grimes, and will.i.am. That's
Grimes is going to be such an edgelord.
Yep. When I saw the photograph of the four of them, I was like, I don't know who that one there is. It was her, apparently. She was wearing like a tracksuit, baggy tracksuit, and the others are all like, we're pop stars from the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
Posing, lots of awkward posing.
Not awkward posing, just kind of like, hey, we're all friends together. will.i.am's not smiling, and Grimes is looking like this. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. I just wonder, because it's so similar, or, you know, seemingly the premise sounds so similar to The Masked Singer, if it's not going to be successful just because we've already got one?
No. Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. And kill the golden goose. That's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, I think they can only have so many people. Maybe they'll have people that were on Masked Singer. They can come back and be on Alter Ego, because I don't think you can go on Masked Singer again.
What if they're more like the ex The Voice contestants? Because that once again, that's a similar premise.
Yeah, sure.
We can't see the person. Well, the judges can't see the person. Take it away. Anyway, we'll find out. And by we, I mean you and I will forget to watch it and other people will find out.
Oh, I'll read someone else's recap.
Yeah.
Some cool voicing stuff that I thought, you know, someone that's very good at playing alter egos. Mark Hamill is voicing Skeletor for the He-Man in the Masters of the Universe series that Kevin Smith is doing.
Mm.
So there's a whole lot of cool stuff in that.
Is that Netflix? I think
yeah.
It might be, yeah. I saw a trailer for it a while ago. Well, not a while ago, recently. And, like, the animation itself looks kind of updated, but they've still kind of kept that 80s feel to it, which I think is important.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm just looking for Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's going to be great. Like, yeah,
exactly.
Lots of that sort of stuff. It's him doing his cranky old Luke voice.
Man, he manages to play so many iconic characters. It's ridiculous.
He's pretty skilled.
Yeah. And a nice guy too, from all accounts.
So I didn't watch much He-Man growing up. I hadn't been that pumped for it, but learning that Mark Hamill's in it made me go, ooh, all right. And then with Kevin Smith and stuff, there's enough people there involved that I'll probably check it out.
Yeah. I don't think it's that far off either. If a trailer's already out, it has to be coming along soon.
Oh, look, he was doing interviews about it and stuff, so they weren't announcing the news. It's just he's out there talking about it a lot.
Yeah. And that
Mark Hamill
your
in
interest.
Your feed is a good thing.
Look, speaking of Kevin Smith, there's going to be a Clerks 3, and Lionsgate has the worldwide rights to it. So Kevin Smith once again wrote the script. Will be directing it. He'll be playing Silent Bob. All the characters in the first one and two Clerks are going to be back. They're going to start filming it in New York and New Jersey next month in August.
Yes.
So get excited. I don't think I saw the second one. And if I did, I can't remember it.
I really quite enjoyed it.
It was in colour, wasn't it?
Yes. It had Rosario Dawson. They were dancing on the rooftop of a movies. I found it very charming. But as I said, I was the right age for it. Clerks, the first one came out, I was much too young for.
Yeah.
So that second one dropped at the right time. I enjoy Kevin Smith's stuff. His it's very hit or miss.
Yeah, definitely.
The characters that he really cares about, like these guys, he seems to, you know, hold with a lot of reverence. So he's probably been working on this for quite a while.
So what do you reckon the chances are of a Matt Damon and Ben Affleck cameo? I mean, that happens almost every single film, right? That's the thing. That's like the Stan Lee thing.
Yes and no. Like the Matt Damon one, so Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck didn't talk for years because Jennifer Garner hated him.
Oh, see, I didn't know the reason. I knew that they weren't, but I knew Ben Affleck had appeared in the last film that I can't remember because you watched it. Which one was that?
Jane Silent Bob
That's right.
sequel. Yes, there was a little reconciliation scene in that. It was very, very cool and well handled. But, like, I don't know, I wouldn't hold out for that.
All right, well, we'll just get excited about Matt Damon then.
Yeah, Matt Damon, because he'll cameo for anyone.
he will.
He's just waiting for the calls.
It kind of makes me want to watch the first one again just to see. I remember it being very trendy to watch.
Yes. Yeah. I know. I love Mallrats. I can go back and rewatch
like
that
Mallrats.
Much easier.
Yeah. Mm. I rewatched Chasing Amy maybe about 5 years ago, and it wasn't too bad, but Mallrats Mallrats and Dogma are still my favourites.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Dogma's pretty good.
Yeah. Selma Hayek and Dogma. Oh, she was so funny. Have you got any more news stories?
Look, I've got one more story, and this is something kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah.
There's a new book coming out called Art of the Walking Dead Universe, and this is AMC's first publishing effort, and it's a behind-the-scenes Bible compendium, whatever you want to call it, on all the Walking Dead television series they've done.
Wow.
And there's a very cool painted cover that's, you know, it looks kind of in the style of Avengers Endgame posters, you know, with 50 different characters.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool seeing the prominence that they've chosen. And this is, you know, from Fear, World Beyond and main series.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's Merle is in there and, you know, some of the John Dory, the characters that you'd want from
Governor
are in this.
The Governor?
What's that?
The Governor?
I think the Governor might be tucked away far back.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, he was so prominent in the beginning, but it has been a long time and there's been a lot of bad guys since him.
So, interestingly, Judith is bigger on the poster than Carl. Judith is front and center, right down the very bottom, like a nexus point. It is. So this it's worth checking out this book cover. It's coming out in September for comic book shops and October for regular bookshops.
So what kind of stuff is in there?
I believe there's going to be a lot of behind the scenes photos from, you know, your Greg Nicotero and that sort of guys. Hopefully some stuff from the writer's room and things like that.
It'd be cool to see storyboards as well.
Yeah. I'm hoping it looks, from what I've seen, it looks very much in the style of like the Art of Star Wars books or, you know, those behind the scenes publications. I got one on Hellboy last year.
Oh, cool.
Great.
Wait, which Hellboy? Yeah. The latest.
The crappy Hellboy.
Yeah.
But the photography in the book was great.
Yeah, I bet it was. I bet it was. Oh, that sounds really interesting. I managed to not know anything about that. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
You've got trailers, right? Because I've got a trailer.
I do. All right, you go first trailer.
All right, Netflix posted a new trailer for the third season of Sex Education. It's like it's made to be like an ad for the school, which is Moordale High, and how good it is to be a student there. You see like a whole heap of the characters, pretty much every student I think I saw. So there was no Gillian Anderson or any of the parents, obviously, because they weren't advertising the school. But there's a new principal. There's a new principal, Miss Haddon, and she said, or you can call me Hope, and it's played by Jemima Kirk from Girls. And she's playing, got a fairly posh voice on, and it looks like she's very much into PR, and I think she's going to whip that school into shape in the most hilarious possible ways. The tweet itself said, choose Moordale, enrollments open now, see you on the 17th of September. So a little while to go, but I have a feeling that those couple of months are going to fly by.
Sure.
That is a very funny show. It's silly. It's ridiculous. And in the beginning, you're a little bit confused because you're not quite sure when or where it's supposed to be set. But once you get on board with all of that, you just go along for the ride and it's great fun to watch.
Nice. Look, I saw a trailer for a show coming. It's called The Moth Effect.
Right.
July 30th on Amazon. So not long to wait at all. It's the new show from Bondi Hipsters.
Yeah.
And just it looks like it's pretty much the cream of the crop of a lot of the alt comedy scene in Australia. Sketch comedy with through lines. I think it's kind of similar to the Bondi Hipsters show they did a few years ago where there was time travel and kind of kept I don't know, they do really bonkers bizarro stuff. They give their special effects guys a lot of work, and I also saw a lot of, you know, the ABC and SBS satire comedians popping up in various roles throughout and stuff like that. So I think that's going to tickle my fancy.
Did you say it was going to be a series or a special?
So it's a series, I believe.
Cool.
Six episodes.
That's awesome. Yes. All right, I'm going to pop that one down because that was the 30th of July, so that's coming up really, really soon, right?
Yes, and it's going to be silly.
I want to check
that
one.
It's going to be my sort of bag. The other two trailers I've got for us to talk about, guess what?
You wrote down that you wanted to watch them.
Yes, but...
You forgot?
What did I not do? I forgot. So let's talk about what they could be.
Yes, okay. All right, you and I are going to come up with trailer ideas for these TV shows and or movies.
And they're pretty easy for us. One is there's a trailer out there for Walking Dead season 11.
All right. A lot of Maggie, and she's going to be angry with Carol still.
Yep.
But Carol's not around, maybe. I think maybe Carol and Daryl are either somewhere else or they're beginning their journey. But we'll never know because we won't know what he says. Who else are we going to see in it? Judith, obviously. We've got to see Judith. And who's the bad guy now in that show? I can't remember.
I think we're going to see a bunch of soldiers in white. Stormtrooper gear.
Oh, that's right. And, you've got the – what's the character with the pink jacket? I can't remember her name. She's a new character. Yeah, Princess. She'll be in it because she's with them, right? She's with the white soldiers.
Now, all this said, this trailer could very much just have been a montage of everything that's happened before.
Well, we've also seen a we've seen the montages many times.
Then there's maybe 3 seconds of a new footage of Carol looking out over a deserted cliff, or Daryl revving the engine and pulling out.
Negan looking remorseful.
Oh.
I think we've nailed it. I think that's exactly what it's going to be.
That's exactly what it is. Okay, good. And the other one is for What We Do in the Shadows Season 3.
I didn't watch that one either. Okay, so we're going to see Guillermo, something to do with his newly found how do I want to phrase this? His newly found talents that have been passed down to him through his probably genetic makeup. There we go.
Well, I cheated with this one because someone left a comment. I actually know what happens. Apparently there's none of that.
Oh.
It's the vampires walking around in daylight.
Oh. Okay. That opens up some questions.
Well, and then it pulls back and they're wearing virtual reality headsets and they're trying out one of those VR rooms.
That's so good. And Matt Berry talking too loudly.
Ah, what a room. I hope Jackie Daytona returns.
Yes, me too. So funny.
Heading out for one human beer, please.
The only thing I'm upset about with the third season is that once those, I think it's like 10 episodes, right? Once those 10 episodes are gone, I'm going to have to wait a whole other year, and that's just a lot.
Yep.
I did see that What We Do in the Shadows was not eligible for an Emmy's nomination this year because it was screened outside of the judging dates. Ooh. Yeah, which really sucks. But it meant that Handmaids apparently is nominated for every single thing you could possibly be nominated for. So that's interesting. Interesting for a show that's hit, I think, season 5. But that was also 2 years in the making. So I think What We Do in the Shadows will have their time to shine next year, next Emmys.
Yeah, fingers crossed. They deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, get out of my trailer park and get into my fun fact car. So today's one is a bit of a sideways thing, but something that I found very cool and had no idea. So I've talked before that I love a bit of Warhammer.
Yes.
I've also talked at great length about how I love the British game show The Crystal Maze, which has returned, Richard Iowardi hosting and this sort of stuff.
I want to watch this. I want to watch it.
You know how I found some crazy connections last week?
Go on.
Turns out in the credits of the original Crystal Maze that they thank some of the game designers that were involved in all of early Warhammer and Games Workshop games. I did some digging into it, and it turns out that they got the guys that came up with these board games to come and consult and develop the challenges and games for the game show. And that kind of makes a lot of sense why a lot of their games have held up and are still played on the version today. And this sort of stuff, because they weren't coming up just from a television creative standpoint. They were coming up from actual gameplay.
That's really, really cool.
That's cool.
I like it when productions, whether it be TV, movies, games, whatever, I like it when they bring in people with from a different industry, but who are experts in a field that will bring so much more quality and excitement and fun, you know, and watchability to their
and
production.
It really just adds to the fact that show was so narratively driven. And, you know, you in one area, you were in the jungle and you'd have to do this that was a storyline-based game, this sort of stuff. It just makes sense that it's from game designers and things like that. I don't know. That's my fun fact.
That is a fun fact. Because I've heard that games often bring in, you know, Hollywood script writers to write the script or to write the story, you know, the narrative. I can't remember his name right now off the top. Gary Whitta, who was one of the screenwriters for Rogue One, right? They got him to write the, or at least consult on the Walking Dead game.
Sure.
Which makes sense, right? You're a writer.
Totally. A lot of the Marvel video games are written by the comic book writers, this sort of stuff, or they consult on all this sort of stuff. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You want someone who's very close to that IP.
Absolutely.
And knows these characters inside and out. So to kind of go the flip side of that, the other way around, and get the designers in.
Yeah.
That's just cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. Oh, that's a good fun fact. Thank you very much for providing it.
Oh, thank you.
Are you ready for some watching suggestions?
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I warned you that I had been watching a lot of older stuff. But there is one new thing that I've been watching, and it's a Netflix show. Actually, speaking of video games, for some reason I didn't even know that I was, but I have been following Kojima, who is a video game developer, writer, whatever, and on Twitter, and he tweeted, here are some shows that I've really enjoyed watching the last month, and one was called Katla, K-A-T-L-A, and I found it on Netflix, and it's an Icelandic show, and it's set on an island, Katla, and there has been a volcanic eruption there, but it's been going on for like more than a year, and pretty much everybody has been evacuated off this island, unable to live there, but there are still like research and a few like you call skeleton staff on there. And then this woman shows up and she's just covered in ash and she's speaking Swedish or in a Swedish accent. And they're like, who are you? Have you been, is there somebody on this island who's been like sneaking tourists on and then you've gotten lost and they, you know, the tour guide couldn't tell anyone because it's illegal. And she's like, no, I work at the hotel. And they're like, what are you talking about? Turns out she worked at the hotel 20 years ago.
Mm.
And they find, like they figure out what her name is and they ring her son who exists. And then they find out that an older version of this woman also exists back in Sweden. And she's like, what are you talking about? I left that island 20 years ago. I've had a family since then. And, yeah, there other people slowly start to show up as well. And it seems like there's some strange comings and goings. And, you know, with all of those, like those Nordic shows, you can either have like the murder mystery, right? Or you can have where they lay heavily into some sort of mythology, I think it's a combination of both. I'm halfway through episode 5, so I'm a fair chunk through, and I kind of sussed out what was going on early on, but I know there's going to be a few twists and turns, and it's one of those shows that is interesting enough to watch, but I could also like do a jigsaw puzzle at the same time. So yeah, Katla, K-A-T-L-A. It's a weird one, but that's been my weird show for this week. I couldn't have all of them weird, but that was my weird new show. Yeah.
Very nice. Look, weird is fun.
Yeah.
And look, as I said, mine's all been shark stuff, but some of it's been weird.
Weird shark stuff.
So, look, there's been some weird stuff. So, I didn't end up watching all of it, but Snoop Dogg had a shark special. It was just him, like, doing reaction videos to shark.
YouTube style?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the ones that I did watch, so I watched Shark Week Jackass.
Yes.
Which, doing promo for the upcoming Jackass movie, It was Steve-O and Chris Pontius, mm-hmm. the two guys that used to do Wild Boys. pardon me. Jasper from Jasper and Errol Try Things, which is that show I loved from a few years ago.
I remember.
And a new Jackass cast member, Poopies. yeah.
Real government name?
I don't know, but they don't call him anything other than Poopies.
That's
the whole
hilarious.
They go out with various shark experts to do weird science, and some of it's actually kind of interesting. At one point, someone dresses up as a matador and waves a red flag no. in front of bull sharks.
Oh, great idea.
It's like they actually do some kind of interesting weird science that people don't think to try.
Is it almost like Mythbuster kind of thing?
Very much.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
It feels like that sort of stuff. Anyway, at the very end, Poopies decides to literally jump the shark on a wakeboard.
Oh, no.
And it doesn't go well, and he stacks into the water and gets mauled.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he's fine. Nothing got bit off.
But
like, all of them walk away with suddenly a lot more respect for sharks.
Wow. I mean, yeah. That's shocking, but also very Jackassy.
It's very on brand.
Yeah.
At one point, one of them's got to sit in like a rubber dinghy.
Yeah.
Not a dinghy, but a rubber tube.
Sure.
Like a donut tube. Got to sit there just in board shorts, feet dangling over the edge, holding like a pressure gauge, and there's tuna attached to the gauge, so the shark will come up and like bite it and yank. And at one point, the shark coming for it credit cards him.
Like, what, his fin? The fin?
The fin goes through his butt cheeks, and he just rises out of this tube about a foot.
That is definitely not something you'd ever expect to happen, because you'd be worrying about all of the things that could get bitten off, not where the fin goes.
That was at the top scale of not taking sharks seriously.
Yeah.
If we move down, the next step is Crikey, It's Shark Week.
Oh, right.
Robert Irwin.
How old he now? About 17?
Yeah, he's 17. And this was a really good special. And this guy's going to be a good television presenter. He's already got the narrator voice down pat, and he's getting more and more comfortable on camera. But this was him. So his dad loves sharks and filmed with sharks lots. And this was Robert wanting to investigate what's the difference in predatory styles between sharks and crocodiles. You know, he already knows tons about crocodiles.
Mm.
Let's compare. And so on Crikey, It's the Irwins, which is the zoo show, a few weeks ago, he was testing how hard a saltwater croc could go on a pressure gauge.
Yeah, right.
And brought that pressure gauge, like it broke the machine at 1,000 newtons.
Oh, goodness.
And so the final step of it, he works his way up swimming with more and more hectic sharks. And the final one is in a cage with great whites. 17-year-old kid.
He's a brave boy.
And he's got the pressure gauge there, and they're baiting the sharks in and stuff. And like one of the researchers is holding the pressure gauge on a rope line, and the shark comes up and like gets it in the right spot and just starts dragging. And the guy is slowly being pulled closer and closer to the edge. Like they're not in the boat; they're on the jetty bit of the back of the boat. Everyone starts grabbing human things. They pull the pressure gauge in, more than 2,000 PSI.
Wow. Like,
and you can see the difference of the croc. The croc hits hard.
Yep.
That's all it's designed to do, snapshot.
Yep.
Whereas this shark thing is just lacerated the hell out of it because it's designed to just blend.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So that was – I learned a lot from that. That was quite interesting.
That's cool.
The next one I watched, and I want to give a shout-out to our British listener, Viv, because I know she's going to appreciate the suggestion.
Yes.
Is Shark Beach with Chris Hemsworth.
Chris himself.
It feels kind of like an ad for Tourism Australia in the best way possible, but he talks a lot about how – having grown up in Northern Territory in the bush, he has a lot of respect that he's been obsessed with surfing since he was 6 years old. He's never personally had an encounter with a shark, So he wants to talk to some people that have and get to know them and learn some more respect. So he starts by going surfing with Mick Fanning, which kickoff.
Yep, there you go.
That's your kickoff spot. All right, you're swinging for the fences. And the two of them just have a really interesting chat and talk about it and take any sort of panic or things out of it, talk about it really clinically.
Yeah. So were they then, only talking about the time when Mick had to literally punch a shark's nose to get away, or was he just talking about other encounters he's had?
Well, that was the interesting thing of he was saying that that's the encounter he's had.
Yeah, right.
He's had been spooked in the water and stuff before then, but since that moment,
yep,
if he feels wrong in the water at all, he's out.
Yeah, so fair.
It changed his mentality.
Mm.
And, you know, then there's a chance that they both get their shirts off and go for a surf.
Oh, no, what are the chances?
I know. Who would have thought Chris Hemsworth would have taken his shirt off? Anyway, he puts on the wetsuit. It's pretty cool. He helps out with there's a new type of buoy, however you want to pronounce it, whichever hemisphere.
Yeah, depending on where you live.
But looking at alternatives to shark nets and shark, mm-hmm. you know, capture and kill programs that they are, of how they can use smart release devices and stuff. So there's now apps that are set up with these buoys that if something bites the lure on there, which previously would have just killed the shark because they need to be able to move in order to get oxygen past their gills and breathe. They bite this thing, they basically get stuck in spot and they drown over the course of an hour or two.
Right.
They've now got this app set up where they are alerted within 30 seconds if there's a serious bite on the thing, and they can be out there to these things within 10 minutes. And he gets to go out and help hand release a great white shark.
Jeez. Whereabouts was this? Was it like Western Australia or something?
That's in Byron. And when I say it's Tourism Australia, there are shots of him making a coffee and looking out of his Byron Bay house at the ocean.
Yeah, right.
So it runs the gamut of cheesy and very serious. You know, I'm Chris Hemsworth and it's pretty important stuff. And why am I weirdly becoming Russell Crowe?
Yeah, I know, like, the voice.
It feels like that sort of progression. But then by the end of it, he's had some pretty intense shaking experiences, and you can see that he clearly does now have a very different level of respect for the ocean.
Sounds good. What is it, like an hour-long special or a bit longer?
Yes. So all of these are 42 minutes.
Yep.
Hour specials. The last one I watched that I'm going to talk about anyway is called Mystery of the Black Demon Shark.
What? That sounds like it's something out of Pirates of the Caribbean or something.
It very much is. So it's Forrest Galante, who's the guy that hosts Expedition Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that goes and investigates the potentially extinct animals and trying to refine them, or mythological as well sometimes and stuff. So this is, in the Baja Strait, and this has been a known thing. There's been rumors of a shark 50 feet long, pitch black, that attacks whales and has been sighted several times. And he spends an hour investigating this at different spots and some of the most remote reef, where volcanic pillars have formed. It took 20 hours by boat to get to this remote volcanic pillar that had formed, and a reef had formed around it. Ooh, like a lighthouse in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
And they go down in there, and there's dolphins and so much stuff happening. And then massive sharks come and stuff. And manta rays, and like the dude's having the time of his life seeing these things you do not see.
Mm.
And he solves this one. He actually solves it. It's a whale shark.
Oh, of course.
Which swimming through, like, this tower has created like a swirling vortex of zooplankton and all the stuff that sharks eat. And when it swims through it from above, it blocks out the white dots on the shark, on the whale shark. So it looks like a giant black demon shark. And it's like, oh, dude, you solved that.
That's cool. Awesome. That's really cool. So that's all on Discovery, right? I might have to watch some of these.
Look, the Chris Hemsworth one was on National Geographic.
Okay.
And it was part of their shark
adjacent, yeah.
Thing, yes. But the rest of it all, yes, is part of actual Shark Week. And there's, I think there's still more round of stuff, one more round of stuff to come tonight, maybe.
Okay.
But yeah.
You'll have time. You'll have time to watch it. That last one sounded really cool.
I know I just talked about 10 minutes straight about sharks, but like.
Look, if anybody remembers, you spent an entire episode once dressed up as a shark. So.
Oh, and that was a few days after we went to the Katy Perry concert.
That's right, and you wore that.
I wore a shark concert the whole time. Love sharks.
Which is very, very impressive. Speaking of impressive, I watched Speed. I wanted to watch that movie again because I don't think I've seen it for a very long time. And I wanted to see how fast that bus can go when turning a sharp corner.
Does she keep it above the speed most of the time?
Of course she does. She's a real expert. Like the movie, it's so funny, the bits that you remember that are not at all, like they have nothing to do with the storyline, but in your head you've picked out that little piece of that tiny little piece of vision or whatnot, and that's the bit you remember. Because at one point in time, at one point in time, Dennis Hopper is holding someone hostage with his bad hand around the hostage neck, right? And I was like, I remember that exact shot, that exact shot. I did not remember who the hostage was or in what kind of context that. Or whereabouts in the movie, but I remember that exact bit because I remember going, that's gross. Sure. That movie is very exciting to watch still. Like, it's outlandish and it's ridiculous, of course. Like, the premise. But as soon as they manage to get past one little bit, something else happens and it straight away is bang, 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 bang. And then and then the next night, the consensus was that we should probably check out Speed 2, even though it was bad. But what I didn't know, I had no idea, was that that script was actually written so that it was Jack, a.k.a. Keanu Reeves, not Jason Patrick. And watching it, knowing that, makes so much more sense. There's even certain lines in it where you're like, Why would you be saying that to, like, there's no.
Why would you know that?
And it also explains why they so underutilized Sandra Bullock, who by then was a big star and was probably a bigger star than Jason Patrick then.
Much bigger.
And she got to do hardly anything. You know, she ended up being the person who had to be rescued, and that's not who she was in the, well, sort of, but for most of the first film, that's not who she was. She was the one who was in control, keeping everyone alive, or, you know, assisting. But watching William Dafoe do that, you know, that manic William Dafoe smile that he likes to do when he's the bad guy? Yeah.
Yes, I know it very well. I'm in several Spider-Man shit.
Exactly.
I am aware of that face.
So seeing that face, I think, almost made it worth it, but just a waste of a movie.
Waste of a movie. There you go. Put that on the movie poster. Love it.
Okay, so when you weren't Shark Weeking, what else did you watch that you wouldn't mind shouting out?
Yeah, I'm going to make it real easy. Impractical Jokers has come back for a new season.
There we go.
Which is great. They kicked it off with an Impractical Jokers Awards, which was a surprise to them, and it was their crew saying, this is the best one you've done, this is the best thing you've done. So that was great. What I want to talk about is at the end of last season, Sal lost a show, and his punishment was for the next season. And, like, I don't know how much work they put in to achieve this, but at no point is he ever to be referred to as Sal. He's now known as Prince Herb. So they changed the opening graphics. They've changed every, like, credit on the show. All the promotional posters and photos that have gone out to the press are all about Prince Herb. It's great. Prince Herb has two badly done, very tacky earrings and a shocking haircut in the promotional photos. So they made him look like that, and he's got to be Prince Herb. 3 months.
It's such a dumb idea, but I love it so much.
they're really committed to it. So it's great that that's just happening in the background. Anyway, one of the punishments this week was up there for one of the worst things they've done. Pardon me. A few years ago, they played a game. They were in a music store and they were drumming and things to annoy people. Anyway, yes. Murr decided that he wanted a flute. And Joe said, I'll buy you that flute if you promise you'll learn to play it. Murr was like, fair. All right, deal. Joe bought it. And he waited. And it was the five-year anniversary of that day. So Joe brought that flute out. He'd gone into Murr's house and gotten the flute back. And he brought it in and he said, Murr, tell me, have you learned to play this? And Murr's like, yeah, totally. He's like, great, okay, come on in here. And he gets dressed up in like Arabian gear.
Like Aladdin.
Yeah. And shoved in a really dark room and he has to walk into the center and his flute is illuminated. And when he gets there, it like the light changes and there's an Indiana Jones hat next to him. So he puts the Indiana Jones hat on and his so clothes dumb. Change and suddenly he's in Indiana Jones gear. And he has to sit in a pit and charm a snake.
Just the one.
And he's playing the flute badly and it's very funny and there's a fake snake that comes out of the basket. Anyway, then the wall behind him in the pit opens up and about 100 snakes.
Oh, no, they did go there.
And all he has to do is correctly play do 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 do. Once. All he has to do is play that once. And he is stuck in there for like 10 minutes.
Look, I don't care if, like, even people who are not scared of snakes, that would be frightening, absolutely terrifying.
They've done a couple like that that are just like, whoa, that's a lot. There was one where someone got taken to a dungeon and it looked like they were going to be in for some sexy time, strapped down. And instead they put a tarantula on them.
Oh, no.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But being a snake charmer and in shorts, and at one point he almost got the song and a big python starts going up his short leg. Like,
I was just looking on IMDb because I wanted to see if potentially Sal's name was changed on there because I thought that would be really funny, but it's not, unfortunately. Wasted opportunity.
Wasted opportunity. I don't know. Prince Herb. it's so dumb. It's up there with the season that they shaved Q's head and turned it into a wig and made Murr wear the wig for the rest of the season. And he just had long, so glorious gross. Hair.
I love it.
So gross. He wasn't allowed to wash the hair either.
Oh, of course not. Rules are rules. And Impractical Jokers rules are ridiculous, but they're still heavily enforced, right?
They're rules. So it is the perfect show to have hit right now.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or should we get into the quiz?
No, Leah, let's get into the quiz.
All right, Tom, I have got a quiz for you and I'm pretty proud of it. Like, you know when you had that, like the light bulb moment where you're like, ding! Like, that is a brilliant idea. This quiz is called Keeping Up with the Joneses. So I'm going to give you info about a famous Jones and then you have to guess who it is. You can jump in at any time. I'll just keep giving you clues until you figure out which Jones it is.
Okay.
All right. Underpants were gifts. What's new, pussycat? Wales, born
Tom Jones.
That's right. 7th of June.
Underpants was a good clue.
It's a good one, right? Good one to get out first. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, should I pick Sex Bomb or What's New Pussycat as the second clue? Yeah. And then I went, they're both just as famous as it. Yeah, exactly. So that was our first Jones. The second Jones, classy advertising. Even if you're the last man on earth. One of three that think the quirky Englishman in Love Actually is hot. Speaking of hot, Emma Frost, born the 5th of January, 1978.
January Jones.
January Jones. I
Even if you're the last man on Earth, was that Bond?
No, because she was in The Last Man on Earth.
Of course.
I never finished that show, and I really enjoyed it too. For no reason, I just stopped watching it. I have to get back into it. All right, so we've got Tom and January. Let's find another one. Loves cartoons. Wouldn't chuck it out for anything. From French animals to aliens from Mars, this animator created so many iconic characters. Born 21st of September, 1912.
Chuck Jones.
Good work.
Oh, I had to dig through.
It was very, very good. I'm just gonna say there's cartoons involved. Otherwise, that would be a bit difficult. One of my favorites. Loves to be outside in places like, let's say, parks. Has a famous father who loves music. Thinks Pawnee and Amy Poehler are really great. Born the 25th of February. I've written 1076. Clearly not right.
19. Rashida Jones.
Yeah, I like her. Well, I like her, but I really liked her in Parks and Rec. Like, her character changed.
She's very good.
Her character changed quite a lot, but she was still the same character. Because, sometimes characters can change a lot, and you're like, that's not who that person was originally. Radisha. Okay, this one I'm only going to give you one clue, because you're going to get it really quickly anyway. The voice of the dark side.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah. 17th of January, 1931. Because otherwise the other one would have been a Lion King clue, and those two are super obvious. But I do.
Everywhere the light touches is part of his kingdom.
It really does. I think maybe Tom Jones wouldn't be happy, but I think James Earl has got the best voice out of the Joneses.
Oh, see, I would like to throw another person into that mix of great voice.
Yes.
Just Doug Jones. He's the guy that's the pale man in Pan's Labyrinth. And he does a lot of prosthetic work.
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about.
But he's Abe Sapien in Hellboy. And he does a really good ethereal voice. He was also in The Shape of Water. Remember that weird fish man?
Yes.
Love story?
That's right, yes. Yeah, I don't know why, but I can remember the poster, and I remember thinking that looks like it could be Swamp Thing kind of, but cleaner.
Yes.
Okay, Final Jones. Never looks like this Jones is having a good time. Likes the letter K and wearing black. Chased Harrison Ford around for a while. Can be two-faced and is born on the 15th September 1946. I think I'm going to give you this clue as well. It has a bit of, like, acne scars. He was the Jones to Will Smith's Smith. So it was a Smith and Jones double feature headline. I think it was just the first movie, though. Maybe he was in the second as well.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee, that was it. Yes.
I got so stuck on Two-Face.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, were you thinking you weren't thinking
I wasn't thinking Aaron Eckhart. I was stuck on the fact that Billy Dee Williams played him in Batman Returns and then was replaced, and I couldn't remember who got stuck.
The man that never smiles. I don't think I can. Like, you just picture Tommy Lee Jones right now. He's not smiling, is he? Not in your head?
I don't know. I see a lot of maniacal cackling from Tommy Lee Jones because one of the first things I saw him in was Batman Forever, being so over the top and having a horrible time.
Yeah. Yep.
God.
He showed up.
I've said it before.
And he did what he had to do, but he wasn't happy about it.
No. He was being upstaged every step of the way. He does. Yes, he's very good at curmudgeonly.
Oh, that's a brilliant word. Yeah, that's perfect. That is the perfect word for Tommy Lee Jones. Never happy.
He loves a furrowed brow.
Yes. On that note, we'll see you on Friday, which when this comes out on Thursday, that will be tomorrow, 12:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time. We'll have another Watchers lunchtime quiz. A slightly different setup, but that's okay. It won't be different for you. It'll just be different for us.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Come and join us. We're going to have a bunch of fun. If you haven't seen it so far, we've been adding all sorts of special effects and fun sorts of things in there that you don't get here. But apart from that, it's really nice just to hang out and yeah. have a bit of chat with everyone, see what everyone's having for lunch.
Yeah. It's important. That's our favourite.
Yeah, and we've timed it at a time that it's not great for the UK. We're sorry. Maybe we'll try a different time at some point. You guys can get involved.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But it works really well for our American listeners to hang out on Thursday night and for us to have a bit of lunch on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. So we stream that on our Facebook page. So if you just go into Facebook and type in We Are The Watchers, or if you just go to Google and type in We Are The Watchers Facebook, it take you to the same place, and we'll be there 12:30. We'll leave it a couple of minutes on, and then we'll, you know, give everybody time to jump on in, and then we'll get cracking with the quiz.
Nice.
Lots of fun. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
That's a bingo.